We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the holy city of Qum, and I'm your regular host of this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program today is a continuation of the theme that we did in a couple of sessions ago, which was on the educational systems in Islam. And I'd like to give a brief recap to our viewers just to cover the general points that we discussed about this system, especially from the Islamic point of view. And what the conclusions we came up with in terms of what we discussed was that we first said that human beings are multidimensional. This is the first thing that from the viewpoint of Islam, we are not looking at a one-dimensional or two-dimensional aspect of human beings as it is in other educational systems, because we are talking about tarbiyat and talim, which are entirely different terminology in Arabic used for the educational system, which means it has a holistic approach to the human being. And because human beings are multidimensional, then we have to discuss the educational system from a variety of aspects. And we were discussing it from the anthropological, the cosmological, and so on and so forth, from the aspect of creation and its relationship, of course, with the Creator. And secondly, we were talking about the fact that human beings must be trained in order to be transformed into a higher state of existence. Because, of course, the whole process of education is not for simple training for a particular career or just for the sake of acquiring knowledge. We're doing it because there's a goal, and there's a much higher goal in the hereafter for which we are needing to be prepared and trained. And thirdly, we were talking about the fact that since man is gifted with many capacities and hidden treasures like goodness, beauty, appreciating aesthetics and so on and so forth, this is all part and parcel of this entire view that we take from the educational system in Islam. Now, we hope to continue our discussion looking at the epistemological, the ethical, and the philosophical, of course, and we're going to do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. I'd like to welcome my expert on the subject of the educational system in Islam, and I have the honor and pleasure once again of having Sayyid Salman Naqvi, Head of Department of Islamic Studies from Al Mustafa Open University. Salam to you, sir, and thanks very much for being on the program.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's an honor to be back on the program.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you very much for that. Now, I hope I did some justice in terms of the introduction to this system, because you did cover quite a lot of different aspects about the educational system, and you talked about these terminology like talim and tarbiyat, which have entirely different meanings, you know, which are difficult to translate in English, because, as you quite rightly were pointing out, because it's a holistic approach to the entire educational system of the human being, because we, from the revelation of the Quran, we have a completely different understanding of what we are as human beings. So I'd like you, without further ado, really to take us into the next stage of your discussion, which was the fact that you were going to mention the philosophical aspects of this educational system, and hopefully that will lead into the other two aspects, which you will hopefully, if we have time in this short session, to cover the epistemological and the ethical as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, when we mentioned the various aspects, we were talking about the philosophical and theological basis of
the theological basis. Thank you
we're
for correcting
about,
me. Thank you.
Actually, when we talk about cosmology, when we talk about anthropology, when we're talking, going to talk about epistemology, and we're going to talk about the ethical aspects, we're actually discussing the foundations, the philosophical
foundations
of the educational system. And the educational practice, any practice, is based on some understanding and of the world and the human being. If we don't know the human being, if we don't know the surroundings in which he's living, how can we expect to educate him and bring about a change in him?
Exactly.
So we have to know him, we have to understand the human being. So from various aspects, we talked about the cosmological aspects, we talked about the anthropological aspects, we mentioned some of the features of the human being himself. Now we're going to talk about a specific aspect of the human being, and that is the knowledge, and the nature of knowledge, and the how a human being can acquire knowledge.
Sure.
Because through knowledge, education is imparted through knowledge. One of the main things which have to change, and the behavior that changes because of education, is through knowledge.
Of course.
Therefore, philosophically speaking, and as a in the theological sense, we have to understand, we have to, number one, accept that a human being can acquire knowledge. There were people, sophists, skeptics, who don't accept that a human being can acquire knowledge.
Ah.
So we have to, number one, as the basis, we have to accept that the human being can acquire knowledge.
Of course.
So, number two, and then after that, we have to know what are the tools he has at his disposal.
In order to acquire knowledge.
And number three, from where, what are the sources of the acquisition of knowledge?
Sure.
So, basically, yes, we believe, Islam believes, and there's no doubt about it, that the human being can acquire knowledge. So much emphasis on the acquisition of knowledge is there. Therefore, there's no doubt about the possibility of the acquisition of knowledge.
Sure.
The second issue is that what tools does the human being have at his disposal?
Sure.
So the human being has been created in such a way, in a wonderful way, he has sense perception, perception through the senses, the five senses, which many other animals also have.
Sure.
It's not just unique and peculiar to the human being.
Of course, of course.
But then there are higher levels of acquiring knowledge which maybe other animals don't have. And that is knowledge, acquisition of knowledge and gaining knowledge through using the intellect and rationalizing and by reasoning and arguing and trying to discover facts through reasoning. It may be deductive reasoning, it may be inductive reasoning. Therefore, yes, that is the second source, the second tool at the disposal. The third one is through intuition and through the inner sense and through the introspection that he can acquire a lot of, understand and perceive a lot of facts through that inner sense. Then, basically, through this, when if we talk at a higher level, when we talk about the revelation, human beings, certain human beings can acquire knowledge through the through that inner sense, through intuition, and the highest level is revelation itself.
Of course, because I was about to suggest, you know, when you were saying, you know, from the point of view that whether human beings can acquire knowledge, of course, it's of course, two verses come in the Quran immediately to my mind. First of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I taught Adam the names, which, you know, has all kinds of implications. And then secondly, of course, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was told, you know, Iqra, you know, read. So therefore, as you say, these are higher states of knowledge, because that Iqra means something entirely different, and I don't want to go into that. But of course, you know, as you say, this was the highest source from which the Holy Prophet was about to reveal, you know, to mankind this knowledge, because and it goes on later in that verse of Surah Al-Alaq, that, you know, I taught him the power of the pen and so on and so forth. So we get this, that human beings are quite unique in terms of this acquisition of knowledge, aren't they?
Yes. So, yes. I mean, there are some levels of acquisition of knowledge which they are similar in that with other with animals.
Sure.
But there are higher levels which are unique to the human being, as I said, the intellect, rationalizing, and then you have the intuition. Mm. And at the higher level, you have the revelation for some chosen people who can reach that level and acquire that status where they can communicate with God. Therefore, that is also a source of acquisition of knowledge. Sure. From where? What are the sources of the knowledge? For example, as the Quran says, we shall show them our signs in the heavens and in their souls. So we have the signs in the heavens, the whole of the universe, with all its expanse, the earth, the universe, the solar system, the cosmos, everything is in front of us to observe and to understand and to understand from it the signs of Allah and then to reach Allah Himself and to understand and recognize Allah Almighty. Mm-hmm. There are signs within us, the souls created by by Allah Almighty, which He says, نَفَخْتُ فِيهَ مِنْ رُوحِي.
That's right.
Just the physical aspects of the human being is so extensive and expansive. What to say of the spiritual aspects? So they are our sources. Mm. Then we have history. From history also, we can acquire a lot of knowledge. And
This is very interesting, if you forgive me, Professor, that in the sense that when you mention history, I mean, this is why, you know, when we look in the revelation of the Quran, we find these, you know, Allah says these are the stories of the ancients. You know, I was thinking of Surah Yusuf, you know, when it starts off by saying that we are relating the stories of the ancients. But of course, it's to teach us lessons, some moral lessons. I'm sure you're going to explain that in the ethical aspects of what our discussion here. But of course, you know, these are the things that we are being taught, isn't it? That this looking back on, you know, the total tradition of humanity since the beginning of time, that, you know, exactly what lessons do we actually learn from our progression in terms of our advancement in the acquisition of knowledge?
True. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, the history also is a source for acquisition of knowledge.
Sure,
and we have to understand how even the Quran asks us to look into it. And so many historical facts are mentioned to guide us. Mm. The main purpose, again, is to achieve proximity and perfection.
That's right,
but
perfection.
Through what? Mm-hmm. I mean, the study of the sciences is important because he says, explore the earth, siru fil arz, and find out how we created the earth and the universe.
Well, this is one thing that is very, very unique about Islam compared to other religious traditions, that as you have just quoted this beautiful verse where you say that God actually encourages man to go and find out the wonders of how this creation came into being. So this is wonderful. I mean, this shows that we are in complete harmony in terms of, as you mentioned, I think in your first session, that there was no dichotomy between the sciences. If we recall that you were saying that, no, we think that they're all part of the same truth. We are trying to find, you know, the reason for our existence.
True.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, the Quran, the holy book, the scripture does not confine us to a specific view regarding the origin of man on this planet. It is left up to us to explore.
Explore it.
How
yes.
it was it? What there are various theories about it. It's up to the human being and the human endeavor to investigate and discover those realities. Mm-hmm. That is left open to us. But the important thing is that we, through understanding these and getting these revealed for ourselves, we want to reach a level of higher understanding and get proximity to God Almighty.
I have one question regarding this discussion that you're mentioning in terms of this education as well as this training. The role of ritual, how does that play into this acquisition of knowledge, you know, in terms, as you mentioned, because you're talking about, you know, finding signs both in the heavens as well as in your own souls. So what role does that play in terms of what you're talking about in terms of the epistemology? Is that an important role, or does it have a subsidiary role, or what happens there?
In the rituals that we carry out, even when we're offering our prayers. Mm-hmm. So that prayer, for example, we are called by Allah to offer our prayers. Aqim as-salah,
establish the prayer. Yes.
Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It will stop you from carrying out wrong deeds.
Wrong deeds, because I'm mentioning that because of the ethical discussion we were
talking. And higher than wala zikrullahi akbar.
Yes.
At the higher level, you will acquire the knowledge and proximity to God. Yes. You will remember God. You will try to know God.
Sure.
So our rituals also have different levels. One is the apparent level, the superficial level.
The superficial.
And then the higher, the ethical level, and then the level of knowledge and ma'rifah.
Exactly. So because these are also levels of faith as well, isn't it? Because we talk about ilm al-yaqeen, for example, you know, the knowledge, the certain knowledge, which, you know, of course, you know, as you mentioned, special people like the prophets, for example, were at that kind of level, that kind of stage. So that's very important what you're mentioning there, that there is this levels that we have to acquire, isn't
sure.
it?
Yeah. So basically, yes, we believe that knowledge that we have to acquire, it can be acquired from the sources. And of course, the Holy Scriptures, the Quran and the Sunnah are there, which go hand in hand with what is there in the signs. We have the God Almighty has signs which he has revealed in the book. And he has signs which he has created in the universe and within our souls.
Sure.
And this book, the book of Revelation, is actually something which is the signs of the heavens and the souls are manifested in the book.
Sure.
And
sure.
The signs and the, which are there with the signs which are there in the heavens, they are in harmony.
Sure.
So therefore, for us as true believers, we have to go and get the ma'rifah and the knowledge of these of God through these signs, whether they are the revealed signs or whether they are the signs created by him in the generative sense, the taqwini sense, the sense that everything that has been created by Allah is a sign for us to recognize and to reach Allah. And through the soul, the most important way of knowing God is through one soul. Man arafa nafsa, faqad arafa rabba. If someone is able to know himself better, the more he knows himself, the more he can know his Lord.
Sure. I mean, this again, you know, when you mention these things, of course, I mean, we hear them many times in many different contexts when we are having Islamic polemics or Islamic discussions. But of course, you know, we can't emphasize enough to our viewers the significance of what we are saying here, because in other traditions, even in you know, science as we understand it today, in terms of the Western tradition or the Eastern tradition, there are many aspects of the human being which their science rejects, even says that, you know, we don't even believe that such a thing exists. You know, even if you talk about, you know, dreams or mysticism or the knowledge of, you know, as we talk about Irfan and so on and so forth, that, you know, in many aspects, maybe some of them are coming to terms with this kind of intuitive knowledge now, but in the past, you know, there was complete rejection of these things. So this, what you're discussing just now, is something on a completely different level.
True. Mm-hmm. Partly the rejection by the scientists or those who believe that science is the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
It's because maybe it was a manifestation of the posture that the church took at in the
absolutely
term, that was posture was a little, you know, problematic. So it seemed that the church was at loggerheads with the scientists.
Of course it was.
Mm. Whereas in Islam, it's not that. So it's not the case in Islam. Islam is very much promoting the acquisition of knowledge.
I just have to stop you at that point there, but we'll carry on with this discussion right after this short break. So please stay with us, viewers. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain, and I'm discussing with Professor Salman Nakhvi, the head of Department of Islamic Studies of Al Mustafa Open University, the educational system in Islam. And really, you've mentioned some very, very important points about the encouragement that Islam gives us to acquiring the sciences, to understanding and exploring. As you said, the signs are there in the heavens as well as in our souls. But before you go on to answer the next question, I'd just like to remind our viewers that there are emails, an email subtitled on the screen as well as a website. Please use it if you feel that you want to make any contributions towards the program. We'd love to hear from you. So Professor, carry on with your discussion in terms of, you know, this exploration of the sciences.
So yes, basically, as far as the epistemology goes, the epistemological basis of the education is rooted in these things that I just mentioned, that
yes.
The sources, what are the tools at the disposal of the human being,
sure.
What the sources are.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole universe is a source of knowledge. The human soul is the source of knowledge. The scriptures are the sources of knowledge.
Yes.
Therefore, the educationist must keep all these things in mind when we're developing the system, Islamic system of education. All this has to be kept in mind. Secondly, the fourth point in the philosophical understanding, the basis, we have the ethical basis. What is the, I mean, we've talked about the nature
That's
of
right,
the human
yes.
being in the anthropological aspect.
Yes.
Then we talked about the epistemological, the knowledge. Now, as based on that knowledge, we need to carry out practices.
That's right.
Our behavior
yes.
should be.
It should be translated into deeds and actions.
I mean, it's just knowing is not enough.
No.
Knowing should follow, be followed up with actions, and the behavior should change according to our knowledge.
Yes.
So there's a link between the knowledge and the behavior.
Sure.
Knowledge should be followed by behavior.
Sure.
It should be entrenched and strengthened by the actions. There's a hadith which says knowledge, if whenever you know something, it calls for you to do something, to carry out an action. If you carry that action out, well and good, your knowledge will be
complete,
strengthened.
Yeah.
If you don't, the knowledge will also take its leave.
Yes.
So therefore, actions and behavior has to be followed.
Mm.
Now, what is virtuous action? What is
right.
considered to be virtuous in Islam?
Sure.
What is the significance of the actions which are considered to be virtuous? Basically, the basis of that virtuous action is again deep rooted in that human soul, because the human soul is something which is divine in nature, as we discussed before.
That's right. Yes.
This divine nature has brought about it in it the very roots of that virtuous action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything which is within, from which is considered to be good is something which comes out of the heart, the pure heart, the human heart, which is God loving, which is filled with the attraction towards the infinite.
Absolutely.
So any
Absolutely.
Action which
so
can...
That, I mean, basically you're saying these ingredients are there in the fitrah already.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of, you know, giving the necessary ingredients, if you like, to stimulate that, to bring that out
exactly.
in terms of a kind of, as you say, the perfection and the purification needed to take on this journey, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. The amal-e-salih, the virtuous actions
yes.
which are there based on the faith which is in our hearts, which is the pure faith and sincerity of purpose which has to be there, everything that we carry out should be for the sake of God.
Sure.
Anything which is carried out for the
That's
pleasure of God
yes.
will be a virtuous action.
Of course.
And
of
with,
course.
With the pure intention.
Sure.
And it has two facets.
Mm-hmm.
One facet is that it should be done for the sake of God.
And only for the sake of God.
And for the sake of God.
God. Yes.
And which means that being God is perfect and infinite. So the action should, the more sincere the person is, the more the perfection should be reflected in that action.
Very nice. Yes.
I mean, it's not just considering the fact that, I'm doing this for God. It's not just doing the good thing and the right thing, it's doing the right thing right.
Exactly.
I mean, perfection has to be there in both aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in the intention that it is for God,
mm-hmm.
but that intention should be reflected in the action. And how can that be done? If we want to do something for God, it should be godly and it should be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So doing things right and doing the right things, and the things have to be done in the right manner. Doing a good thing is one thing. Doing it right and in the best possible manner is another thing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you, for example, we may pray, but Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe betide those who pray.
Exactly. He says that, of course.
He says that.
Yes.
But who don't pay attention, who do not carry out the actions in a proper manner.
No, they're very careless
of
what they're doing.
So It's not, if we want to be perfect like him, our actions should be very, very perfect also.
Exactly.
So doing things in the right, best possible manner is very important.
Well, I mean, this, I mean, we talk about in certain things about in the West about efficiency about certain things, but of course, what you're saying, what you're quite rightly pointing,
excellence.
It's an excellence that we're looking for in these actions.
I mean,
there
are two terms which I used a lot in the West. One is effectiveness, and the other is efficiency.
Efficiency, yes.
And we believe to be effective is to be when we effective means to be able to reach your target.
Exactly.
And our target is
in the best possible manner.
And efficiency is the best possible manner with the least resources.
With the least resources.
Efficiency is the doing and carrying out an action which it will will result in the in the target that you want to achieve with the best with the least possible resources.
Love
so
that.
If you do the best, if you want to do something for God, it should not only be with paying full attention to God, it should be done in the best possible manner, effectively and efficiently.
I'd just like to point out one
therefore,
thing. Sorry, for our viewers, that there's a hadith that comes to mind immediately about the fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin, where he was about to take his ablution for his prayer, and his son, Imam Bakr, the fifth Imam, he says that, "Father, why are you looking so pale?" And even though he's going to go into prayer, this is something he does on a daily basis, but he says, "Son, don't you realize I'm standing in front of the One?"
Exactly.
I'm standing before God. I'm going to speak before the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that sense, this is the kind of thing that you're speaking about when you talk about this effectiveness, this efficiency, this excellence of action, that, you know, as we see from our imams, that what is this that he suddenly has this pale complexion and he says, I stand and tremble and in fear of my Lord. What is this? Because of course, as you say, there is the superficial, and unfortunately many of us really, you know, don't pay attention to what we're doing and don't realize what we're carrying out here. So this kind of training that you speak about is very, very important in terms to grasp its significance, isn't it?
True. Mm-hmm. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Rahim Allah Imran amila amalan fahsana. May Allah have His mercy upon a person who does carries out an action and does it in the best possible
manner. Yes,
therefore,
beautiful.
Sincerity of purpose is not just doing something for God.
Hmm.
Sincerity of purpose is doing it in the best possible manner. Yes, we have to pay attention. This is for God. This is the voice of our conscience, which is calling us. The voice of our conscience. God has says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. In our souls, in our hearts, every human being knows what is good, what is evil.
Yes.
And that has been imbibed, and that has been inculcated. It has been put in the innate nature, the fitrah of the human being. فَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ الَّذِينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. That very human nature, that very innate divine nature has been put into and imbibed in the human spirit. It has been imprinted there. Every human being knows what that goodness is, what that evilness is. And he should do it for the sake of Allah, with the purest of intentions. But it should be done in the best possible manner, with a sincerity of purpose and sincerity of action. Therefore, these two go hand in hand. Actions in Islam, behavior in Islam, they have to be virtuous actions which are for the sake of Allah. They are the call of our conscience and for the sake of Allah and done in the best possible manner.
Well, to be honest, in the last few seconds, really, this summarizes what, you know, beautifully what you've said. But unfortunately, we've run out of time. But I just need to thank you for your contribution today on the program. Hopefully, we'll continue this discussion in another session. But I thank you very much indeed, sir, for being on the program. And it just leaves me to thank our viewers again for watching. I hope you've benefited from the discussion. It leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for watching today, and goodbye.